We'll have Brad Johnson coming up at high noon today. We'll talk to the Super Bowl winning quarterback, 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks. They're, of course, in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 55, Bucks and Chiefs. So we'll talk to Brad Johnson coming up at noon. Looking forward to that. We'll go down to Atlanta at 1 o'clock. We'll hit on all things Atlanta with Chris Domino, Hank Aaron, Major League Baseball expansion, is Nashville in the plans, Arthur Smith and Dean Pease. We'll try to do all that with Chris in the final hour of the program. David Poyle coming up in about 10 or 12 minutes or so. We'll have our weekly chat with the GM. Let's talk about tonight's games. Two games against the Blackhawks. Tonight and tomorrow night, Chicago coming off their first two wins of the season against Detroit. When you look at this Blackhawks team, what do you see?
Well, they've got some issues, and they did get two good wins against Detroit. But since then, they've had two key players go on the COVID list, Alex DeBrincat and Adam Boqvist, a good young up-and-coming defenseman. So they're up against it here. And we'll see what they put out there on the morning lines to see how they have adjusted and who's available for them. You know, we've talked about them. They are in a full rebuild. And that being said, they're going to come at it tonight. They've still got Patrick Kane. They would love to beat the Predators. We know that. And they have some confidence because they've won a couple of games. But this game is about the Predators tonight. Don't you think? I mean, they've just got to show that these two games against Dallas, there's something better there, right? They've got to come out determined and on their game tonight. There's no excuses for not playing a good game. Now, could you outshoot them 40 to 25 and still get beat because Chicago makes some plays? Yeah, that can happen. That's what's the beauty of hockey, is the biggest underdogs can win. But I just want to see a better overall 60 minutes. We know what the deal is with special teams. And the power play was a big tool for Chicago in their win over Detroit on Sunday. I watched some of their game. In that one, they had this kid out of nowhere, Pius Suter. He had a hat trick. He never scored a goal in the league before. He gets a hat trick. It helps that he's playing with Patrick Kane. But that's the kind of thing that can happen in one game in the NHL. Now let's see what he does in this game. Maybe the guy is a budding star. He's from Switzerland. They should probably ask Roman Josi about this guy. But, Chicago they're an evolving team, right? They're starting to see the end of the tunnel in terms of getting out of the salary cap jail that they've been in, the price they paid to win the three cups. We know Taze isn't there. We know Kirby Dach isn't there. So this is going to be a very different look. There's going to be some names, if you haven't paid attention, that aren't there. That you're going to say, where's this guy and this guy and this guy? Well, they're not there anymore. And then you throw some injuries in there. They're thin. They got a lot of young players.
Well, one of the guys that we've been used to seeing there for a long time is Corey Crawford. And he's not only not there, he's not in the league anymore. And that's what really jumps out at me when I look at the Blackhawks for tonight. I mean, it's just that right now, I believe they've used all three goalies. We know everybody's carrying three goaltenders this year, and they've had three goalies make at least one start. Malcolm Subban is one of their goaltenders. Lakanen and Delia, is that how you say it?
Delia.
Delia.
Colin Delia.
Colin Delia has made a couple of starts. Lakanen has made three. Subban's made one. So they've had three goalies in, what is that, six games? Three goalies in six games have made starts. Is that going to be their approach this year? It's just whoever they feel like is giving them the best at that moment, that's who they're going with? Or how do you rotate three in the course of a season? Or is that just kind of an anomaly right now?
You know, I'm not sure how they arrived at that. I don't know if there was a COVID factor in there. Even when they had anybody, even when they had everybody, I mean, this team has had some trouble keeping the puck out of the net. So it's not an easy team to play goalie for, which makes you appreciate Corey Crawford probably a little bit more. And so that's what you have to exploit, I think, for Chicago. Now, they've still got some guys that can score. We don't have to mention Patrick Kane. You know him. But they've got other guys that are kind of sneaky, talented, that are emerging. And when they have everybody, boy, they could outgun you on particular nights. Ask the Oilers what happened in the bubble last year. They got eliminated by these guys. But they're missing a couple of those guys tonight with Taves out and DeBrincat out. So let's see what it looks like. But the number one thing you have to do tonight, I think, if you're the Predators, is to make sure that you're focused, you're determined. And if you're not, after losing the two games the way they did against the Stars, where they're frustrated, they know they didn't play their best, then I don't know. That's not a good sign, because you got to come right back and play tomorrow. But you cannot let these guys sneak up on you tonight.
You know, I was looking at the rescheduled games. Isn't it crazy that all the games that have been rescheduled due to COVID reasons right now in the National Hockey League are in the Predators division? Crazy.
The standings are a complete crazy puzzle.
Like Carolina's you've got five games postponed. Five. Florida's had three.
Florida's had no issues with COVID.
Right.
And they've only played two games.
They've missed three games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, by the way, all the rescheduled dates have been announced. Carolina and Nashville's game back on January 19th that was postponed has been rescheduled for Tuesday, March 2nd at 7 o'clock. But, yeah, Carolina's had five games postponed.
It's a juggling act. And hopefully it doesn't – there's not another wave. That's the scary part, is once you have a certain amount, there starts to get less and less dates that you're able to fill without filling on the backside and pushing the start of the playoffs back. Or, as Elliot Friedman said, there is an option of, if there are games like a Major League Baseball season that you get to the end of the year and everything's determined and they don't need to be played, they don't affect the standings, then maybe you just don't play those games. But I find that – to be unlikely, because in 56 games, I think there's going to be a lot of teams right in it to the end. It's just harder to separate, especially with the overtime losses, right? The three-point games are going to start piling up. They always do. That's why this game is so important tonight, to get back on the beam and play your game. I would think, just based on the numbers, that Lankinen would play again tonight. We'll probably find out here. More likely than not, as they do their morning skate. But the COVID thing has hit the Blackhawks. They lost two guys that are important. Put them on the list yesterday, and we know how it goes, right? We saw the Titans deal with it. Sometimes in the days that come after, there might be some other things that affect your team. But knock on wood, I haven't seen anything like we saw last week where all of a sudden the word comes down before the team even goes over the rink that the game's off. Nothing like that. So that's a good thing.
Well, luckily for the Predators, all their success has come at home, their wins, and all of Chicago's losses have come on the road. So hopefully that'll continue tonight and tomorrow.
It's super early, right? We've got a long way to go. Now, we did see that the Predators, it looks like they're going with Pekka-Rinne tonight. Of course, it's back-to-back, so you would think if they go Pekka tonight, it'll be Saros tomorrow. No major changes. It looks like Matt Benning, based on the line rushes at the morning skate, will be back alongside of Borowiecki. It looks like Olivier will go back in there, as they'll go with that size, Olivier, Trenin, and Richardson, and everything else stays the same.
I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask David Poile, what did you think of Lucas Pisa and his game on Sunday?
Not great. In fairness to him, that's the first time he's, been thrown in there. He didn't get any exhibition games or a lot of practices. So I'm hoping he'll get better as he goes. But really, the third pair, Borowiecki and Benning, or Spisa, whoever you want to put in there, need more from those guys, right? They need good penalty killing from those guys, and they need solid play. And I think it can be better. I think they believe it will be better. I think there's been a little drop off since the first game.
Yeah, I thought Benning struggled mightily on Friday. I wasn't surprised by the move because I thought he struggled on Friday night.
Yeah, if you look at analytics and things like that, there's, you know, they're taking on a lot of water, right, mm-hmm. with the shots, and of course we know the penalty kill. That's got to be where they shine, and we know the penalty killing was a disaster in the two games. I'm not saying it's all their fault, but I'm just saying that's I think they were brought in because they are capable of a higher level. If you look at Ellis and Yossi's numbers, they haven't scored. It's interesting that the defense corps as a group hasn't scored a goal yet, which is very unusual for the Predators.
Yep.
But Ellis and Yossi are getting their shots. They're getting their looks. Fabro's had a couple of great looks. You know, he hit the cross. He hit the post. In the first game, he had a really good look against Hudobin. So I think he's been okay. I still think that second pair can be better. This is all, you know, where is this team? Are they really better than there have been? I think the first two games, you're like, yeah, it looks good. And then since then, yeah, you know, the game against Carolina was a good game that they came up short. But then these two games probably have those question marks raising again. And that's going to happen to a lot of these teams. But the next chapter is tonight.
We'll come back. David Poile on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's a game day tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Predators hosting the Blackhawks. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe. Willie has stepped away for a moment. He'll be back in a bit. We now have our weekly chat with Predators General Manager David Poile. He's on the line with us. David, good morning. How you doing?
Darren, I'm doing good. Looking forward to tonight's game against Chicago and getting back in the win column.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The wins have come at home, and so hopefully that trend will continue. But obviously it did not go the Predators' way down in Dallas. Special teams struggled mightily, to say the least. What were your takeaways from the two games, and how do you go about trying to fix that?
Well, the first period in Dallas in the first of the first game, I thought probably was our most complete and best period. I mean, we totally were all over Dallas, played really well in all areas of the game, very, very physical against them, had some great scoring chances, and were unable to get that elusive first goal. And then even in the start of the second period, where it seemed to favor us, and then we took two penalties back-to-back, and they scored two power play goals. And that seemed to be the game, and then it seemed to carry over until to the next game. Again, where Dallas once again got three power play goals, so it was disappointing that we couldn't do better in killing off those penalties. I've never quite been involved in anything like that before, and it really took our course on our team. I mean, you know, you can say what you want, but when they score those first two goals and then followed up with another one in that first game, I think it took a lot of our confidence away, but that's something that has to be rectified. I know the coaches have been working on that the last two days to give us confidence in both ends, meaning our own power play, which has not been as good as it needs to be, and of course our penalty killing has been arguably the worst in the league. So those are huge and important areas that we have to get better on as soon as tonight if we are going to have any chance of winning.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's one thing, it's obvious that the penalty kill has got to get better, but, you know, Dallas is in the box, too. I mean, the Predators had, five cracks at the man advantage on Friday night, three or four more chances again on Sunday night, and so one of the power play resulted in a goal, in the Philip Forsberg goal, but other than that, that's got to get going, too, because there's only been two power play goals this season. What are you seeing out of that unit that certainly head coach John Hines is putting the firepower there for that power play unit, but right now just not getting the results that everybody's expecting?
I couldn't agree with you more. On paper, it looks good. Our first power play especially looks good in terms of the names and the quality of players that we have. In terms of getting shots and attempts, analytically or what have you, it looks very good in terms of getting pucks on the net and creating chances or what have you. But again, the proof of the pudding is in the results. And you know, Dallas got some tips. You know, they got four goals in that first game that were tipped in, which is again good positional play, if you will, by them going to the harder areas. And maybe it's not good defensive play on our part that they were successful to be able to make those tips. So you know, we got to do some of the same thing. So you know, we got to call it like it is. This has been an area that has not been a strength of ours for the last couple of three years. I really felt that that this year we have the manpower to do it and to make a difference. But often the games are won on the specialty teams. In other words, if you kill all your penalties and you get a power play goal, you're plus one in that area. And that's often the difference in the game. And certainly in the two Dallas games, it's an understatement to say that, but that was the total difference in both games. So we go at it again tonight against Chicago, who also has a very good power play, and we'll have to see how we do tonight in that area of the game.
David Philip Tomasino has been practicing with the team. He's still a very, very young man. Where do you think he is in his development right now?
Again, I guess you would say we're kind of showcasing Philip a little bit here. You know, he's at the World's Junior with Canada, had an outstanding tournament, he's come here out of quarantine, missed all of training camp, and now he's on the taxi squad. This taxi squad situation is great in terms of the depth that it gives us and every team in terms of the numbers that you can go to, but it is not a perfect situation in terms of integrating with the team, practicing with the team. You know, it's a little bit of an awkward situation. I would think if Philip doesn't get into the games here soon, that it'd probably be better for him to probably go down to Chicago to play in the AHL and you know, get in regular play practices, get in games, play with players his own age type of thing, and that might serve him a lot better and eventually us a lot better in this season in terms of maybe giving him more of a better opportunity to actually, you know, get some games for the Predators.
Yeah. Yesterday we learned that the third goaltender, Connor Ingram, had checked himself into NHL's player assistance program. I don't know what you can or can't say about that. We're all hoping that everything is okay. Koskisuo will be the third goalie now in his place. We saw him a little bit in the third period of the Friday inter-squad scrimmage, the same with Ingram. Both of them played the final periods in that Friday night scrimmage. What can you tell us about him, and what can you say about the first thing I said?
Well, on Ingram, I think you know that these are personal situations that is safeguarded by collective bargaining with the NHL and the NHLPA, and you know that's the way it should be. Connor's a really good young man that obviously has a little bit of a situation, you know, right now that I believe that we've caught at the correct time, and as you say, it's a voluntary situation, so he was more than willing to acknowledge the help that he needs, and I think that he and we will be in a good situation in the near future. I'm certainly hoping that it's just a terrific resource that the NHL provides for the players, and hopefully he'll be back with us in the not too distant future. Kaskisku was Toronto's third goalie last year. Another Finnish goaltender to go along with Saros and Pekka. He's a big kid. He's had some pretty good success at the minor league level. Not been given too much of a chance with Toronto, and you know, we brought him in here with competition for Ingram and depth for our whole organization. And here we are, five games of the season, and he's our third goaltender. So again, I'm not wishing or hoping against anybody, but I really hope that between Pekka and Saros that they give us top flight goaltending, and we don't have to go to this to a third or fourth goalie. But if we do, I think Kaskisuo is certainly a good prospect.
Good deal. Matthew Olivier, we talked about him because he stood out in the scrimmages, and he's been given his opportunities. What have you seen? What have you liked out of Olivier? What has he been providing for this team that he seems to continue to be getting the vote of confidence from the head coach?
Well, I think he fits in well with what we're trying to do in terms of changing our team around a little bit, and that's to try to be harder to play against and to be a little bit more physical. He has grown a lot in his 2 years in Milwaukee as a player and as a person, and I think he knows that he can do it at this level. Now, he's just, you know, in a couple of games that he's got into, I'd say he's done okay, but, you know, in a blanket statement with everybody, I think he could do better. John's used, I used a quote the other day about players that are making an impact or not making an impact on a game, and I would say that Olivier just falls in with a lot of other guys that I know he can do it. I know he's got a specific role. He knows the role, and he just has to make more of an impact on the games when he gets into them. So you can't just stick your toe into the water here. You've got to dive in full bore here to get in there. And so let's see if he gets another chance possibly tonight, and see if he can make a difference. I mean, he's got to show up somewhere on the scoreboard. You know, it doesn't have to be goals or assists, but it certainly could be, you know, it could be hits, takeaways, you know, drawing penalties and things like that.
Predators general manager David Poile is here with us on Darren Donican Chase. And one thing that has kind of always stood out to me with whether it's your team or any other team, but when you're early in the season, the first couple games, when you have new players, there's that appearance that, oh, the chemistry is instant. But I think that we'd agree that sometimes it's adrenaline, and it's obviously this season of waiting so long to play. It does take time to truly build chemistry. And with your team, with so many new faces, I think that that's something that maybe we're continuing to see. But how would you evaluate the chemistry development with the new pieces and the pieces that have been here on your team so far?
Again, I agree with what you're saying. And again, it's apparent that the chemistry is not, you know, quite there throughout our lineup. I mean, forward-wise, you know, I think our first line with Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg has been clearly our best line and has been producing goals pretty much every game except the first game in Dallas. Having said that, the other lines are, you know, the fourth line has changed a little bit, and the second and third line, I think they have like one 5-on-5 or even strength goal in five games. And we need more. You got a lot of guys that have nothing on the board, either, you know, goals or assists or anything. And they're going back to that word again, their impact on the game has been minimal, and it has to be more, and it has to be more consistent. Everybody has a specific role. They were signed for a specific reason, and you know, some players are just not playing their role, and thus that's affecting the outcomes of the games. And I'm hoping that this is a short sample size of five games, and that this chemistry, to use your word, gets to be a little bit better as we move on, and players, both from their contribution to the club and our feeling about them, grows to be a little bit better and more successful place.
Along those same lines, at least with Mikhail Granlin, he's very familiar with this team and having been here the last couple of years, but early on in his return, he's already showed up on the score sheet. I know you kind of mentioned it. John Hines had him playing with the top line some, but what have you seen so far out of Granlin?
Well, I think Granny is just the opposite of that. What we just said, he didn't have any training camp. He has one day of practice, and he comes in and he's very impactful. He was all over the place in terms of creating opportunities, making plays, doing a lot of other things. His effort is, you know, unquestioned. And again, outside of the Jofa line, I mean, he certainly was our best forward and down in Dallas in his first two games. So hopefully, whatever line he's on, I think right now he's on a line with tonight with Duchesne and Cunningham, and you know, certainly look for those guys to be impactful and to make a difference in the games, both being good defensively, but also, you know, starting to put some points up on the board.
David, I think we'd both agree that in any given night, anything can happen in this league. That's how it's set up, and that's why you play the games. But when you evaluate this Discover Central Division and the fact that you're seeing the same opponents so many times this year, I think you'll also look at how how evenly matched some of these teams really are. And to me, a game against a Chicago is that much more important, because it's well documented that they maybe don't have some of the same pieces that they've had in the past, and they are kind of looking at a retooling, or however you want to word it. So does, when you look at games like tonight and tomorrow, does that make those 4 points that much more important because you view your team as is being in a position to take those 4 points?
Well, I really like this this format with when you play teams back to back. I mean, it feels like a playoff situation where you find out right away how you match up against these teams. So I like it. And again, they are these classic 4 point games. I mean, a sweep by Dallas this past weekend is, you know, that's put some 4 points ahead of us. That's a big number to catch up with in this kind of a condensed season. So it's the same thing tonight and tomorrow when we play Chicago back-to-back games. So I think Chicago is really, from the start of the season, and again, the short sample here, has really gotten a lot better. I mean, kind of, got hit over the head with these big injuries with Taves and with Kirby Dach in particular, but I think they've adjusted and they've moved guys into the lineup, giving guys new opportunities. And I think the last couple of games that I've watched, they're much better. And I think we got our hands full tonight. And once again, one of the areas that they're really good on that we have to improve on is the power play. So our penalty killing, you know, it's going to come into play as an important part of the game tonight. So it's going to be another good test for us tonight. There's no question about that.
No doubt. Next two nights, Predators hosting the Blackhawks. David, we always appreciate the visit. Thank you so much, and we'll see you tonight.
See you guys tonight. Thank you.
All right, that is Predators General Manager David Poile. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. We'll come back, more of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side, but first, a word from Chase.
Yes, it is my time to tell you about BetMGM. They have an addition to your list of New Year's resolutions. Sign up for BetMGM and get your first deposit doubled with instant match. I love that. You love that too. Register for BetMGM using the bonus code INSTANT1025GAME. That's INSTANT1025GAME, and get your first deposit matched up to $500 in free bets. That's some serious cash for some serious sports action, like the new basketball season or football teams playing to reach the season's grand finale next month. All you need to do to get your first deposit matched up to $500 is sign up on the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that bonus code INSTANT1025GAME, and there you go. BetMGM will raise the stakes for all of 2021 with innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. No one can match your game except BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at
889-9789. Listening to the next hour, not only will we talk to Super Bowl winning quarterback Brad Johnson, because the Bucks are back in the Super Bowl, we'll talk to him in the third hour. It's also going to be an opportunity for you to win tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Blackhawks.
Ooh.
6:30 start tomorrow night. 6:30 start tomorrow night. Keep that in mind. But an opportunity in the third hour to win. Now, I'm being told that that's to win, not to qualify.
Correct.
You are being told correctly.
Okay.
I've double confirmed. It is for all the marbles.
Sources have told us, we have got multiple sources have told us, it is to win tickets, not to qualify. So be listening next hour in particular for your chance to be in the building with us tomorrow night as the Predators host the Blackhawks.
Speaking of things that you're being told and I am being told, I will throw this out there because Ryan just told me this, that tomorrow morning on Robbie and Rex Road, they're going to be joined by new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. So waiting on that time, 8 a.m., 8 o'clock. So Arthur Smith going to join the morning show. That'll be
great.
All right.
Be listening to that tomorrow night or tomorrow. So that'll be, what, Arthur Smith in the 8 o'clock hour, Matt Duchene in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yes. Yes. So big things going on there, but definitely want to pay attention to that. See what he has to say. I'm going to call the Falcons Titan South. They keep taking coaches. Because they got Dean Pease and Matt Pease and the former special teams coach that I think was the special teams coach under Mularkey.
Well, Mularkey went there as well.
Yeah, he's retired now. But
yeah, but he went there.
He did. He did. It was second stint there, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Big, by the way, a big day on Friday for Nashville SC. Have you seen this?
I actually have not.
They're going to be putting up, I guess, the installation of the steel beams to their new soccer stadium.
Oh, that is cool.
So they're going to kind of have a little ceremony. And
it's big for Nashville.
It really is.
Nashville SC, but that's big for Nashville because that's just another venue.
Look, once they, you know, once they, that process starts and they start putting up steel beams, you know, when you drive by, it's going to look real, right? It's going to look like, okay, you're going to start to feel like soccer stadiums coming together. It's hard to envision early on in the building process, right? But once you start seeing stuff like that, then it kind of, it's kind of cool to drive by every once in a while and see where it's at. I did that with the Ford Ice Center.
Yeah.
In Antioch, I used because
I did that
pretty close to where I was, and I would just go by periodically and just see how it was coming along. I did that with First Horizon Park as well.
Yeah, it was funny with the Ford Ice in Bellevue. I literally would, you know, I'd drive by there and there was nothing, and then like 2 weeks later there were frames and just out of nowhere. I was like, whoa!
It went pretty quick.
Yeah.
At least the outside structure,
yeah,
with the Ford Ice Centers, it went pretty quick. You didn't want to go once and then come back 3 months later. You'd be surprised the difference.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what that stadium looks like. It's going to be obviously fun to go to Nashville SC games. I know we have batted around on the show that maybe another team could play there too, at least some games. But I could see Vandy. But I'm excited because I think it's going to be just another facility for this city to use to lure some of these big events.
A lot of interesting off seasons in this market. What are the Titans going to be doing? Does Tennessee have an announcement in what their future is going to look like? They've already made one huge announcement last week, and I think mm-hmm. that is critical to their future. At least we all believe that on right now, today, in AD Danny White. But what is their future going to look like? You know, by the way, I think MLS, speaking of that, they announced, I saw it yesterday, what is it, they're going to begin their season at the beginning of April?
Correct.
Typically, it's at the end of February, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you remember last year when Nashville SC made their MLS debut, that was at the end of February against Atlanta United. In Nissan Stadium. So, yeah, looking like early April, but they're wanting to get in every game. So 34, I believe, is what they want to play. So they want to get in a full season of games, but just starting a little bit later. So hoping that all happens and looking forward to it because we all know how fun the run was for Nashville SC once they came back and, you know, making the playoffs in their inaugural season. And Mike Jacobs is tweaking this roster to try and make it even better. So that'll be fun to get the full season in and see how they do.
I have noticed that they are. Yeah, they've been making a lot of moves lately.
Yeah, but that's kind of what you expected.
Around their draft, right? Their draft is coming up soon, is it not?
No, they just had it.
They just had it.
Yep.
Okay.
Just had it.
Notice they were, like, positioning themselves with some draft picks and switching out, trading players, and so I guess trying to get this roster. I mean, look, that was a successful first season. I don't think you can look at it any other way. It ended a little too soon, but nonetheless, a very successful first season in the MLS. So you're not looking to go the other, you know, you're trying to keep that forward momentum, and I believe hopefully they're going to do that in year two.
Yeah, and because gone are the days in any league of what the Predators had to do at the beginning. I mean, it's win now. It's, you know, the leagues want a team to be successful now. And if you're a prospective owner, you know, trying to break in, and, you know, you don't want to have to spend 5 years trying to build from scratch. I mean, you do want to come in and be successful and sell tickets, and especially, you know, to use the phrase that I know not a lot of people like to use, but in a non-traditional market like Nashville, maybe was, isn't anymore, you know, but Nashville SC wanted instant success, and I would say that they got it for what they did last year. But now, like you said, got to build on it. And I like, you know, I'm still learning. I'm not the expert by any means, but what I do know is the framework of this team is, you know, pretty good. And I think they are going to be successful again. I want to see what it looks like in a full season, as does everyone else. But some of the moves they're making, I think, will be good.
I think that's the right approach for expansion now in all sports. I think it's the right approach. It'll be interesting to see, as we'll try to get into that discussion in the 1 o'clock hour of, you know, Major League Baseball expansion. Looks like it's been put on hold right now because of the pandemic. I don't know why it will be put on hold because of the pandemic. You would think it would be speeding things up because of all the lost revenue. I'm a little perplexed at that. But nonetheless, you know, how serious is Nashville in that discussion? Because from everybody I've talked to, it seems like it's not a matter of if, it's when. It's inevitable. They are going to add. You know, they're going to expand.
Sure.
So does Nashville make the cut? You know, because there's a lot of, because, you know, I read stuff, I was just reading stuff over the weekend and yesterday that, you know, they've also kind of revisited. I saw where Manfred had said, hey, we believe that we could have a city in Mexico and it would thrive and we would do well, and, you know, that we could have a market in Mexico. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking, but it's the right approach. I don't know if back in 98, you know, looking back on, you know, if the Predators were afforded the same luxuries that Vegas was, that would that have been an instant success and an instant home run in this market? I don't know, because this market was so different then. That was old Nashville.
Yeah.
And, you know, this where it is today is new Nashville. And even with the benefit of getting, you know, kind of how Vegas was able to build their roster, if David Poile was able to do that right out of the gates, how much does it change? I don't know. Obviously, more success would change some. There's no doubt. But would it have been the explosion that we saw, you know, we've seen in the last 5 years? I don't think so, because, like I said, the market was just different. It was
completely
different.
And I think the league was different. The league was different, too.
It was.
You had some household names, but maybe not to the point that you have now. I mean, when I was... So in 98, I was 11, and I knew Gretzky, I knew Messier, but I didn't really know, you know, a lot of names, because I didn't grow up as a hockey fan necessarily. I grew up in a southern market with no pro teams, had a AAA baseball team and Vanderbilt football. So I grew up with, you know, the SEC, but it wasn't as widespread, because you didn't have the avenues to make it as widespread. You know, you think about today, you know everything about every sport because it's right at your fingertips on your phone or your computer. So that certainly changes things. And, you know, you know more of the names, but I do think, cause I remember, weren't the Devils close to potentially moving here? And then they got an arena, and I think Pittsburgh
only won the cup. That helped.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. That definitely helped. That goes.
Were they good about leaving? Oh, wait a minute! We just won the cup. Were they good about a parade?
Like, you guys want to stick around? Or
that'll spark some interest.
Yeah.
That'll get things going the right direction.
And you know, I think many people may not know this, but I mean, it was, they built the arena, And it was, the whole idea was trying to get the NBA or the NHL. And the NHL ended up being what it was. And there were all these different scenarios, but you end up building an expansion team. And you're right. I don't know if it was like Vegas. I don't know what difference it would have made, if it would have made one. I think
it
would have
made some, but it wouldn't have been, you know, what everybody thinks it would be. Just because this,
you get a hot name, it does, but you know.
But how many people knew the hot name? I mean, there. Right. I feel like so much of the fan base was trying to learn the sport. I mean, hell, yeah. Throw me in that category along with almost every media member.
Oh, Willie,
in this town.
I mean, everybody.
I mean, we all were. I mean, yeah. We all were learning this together. So I don't know how much, you know, we obviously heard that from the fans, the ones that had been from other markets or, you know, did take a liking to hockey their whole life. And you would, you know, when's a big name coming here? But I'm not sure how much it truly would have changed. Like Nashville SC, it makes sense because of the landscape of the market today. Like it makes sense not to, you know, tiptoe into this. Don't ease into this.
Jump in.
Jump in head first. Well, don't check the water temperature head first. This market is more than ready. And if it wasn't for the pandemic, we would have seen a completely different look and excitement in last season. Unfortunately, it was tempered because of the craziness that was their season, right? You know, the way the season started in Orlando in a bubble and then, you know, no fans. And so it just kind of put I look at Nashville SC's first season kind of like every kid in this town's in Middle Tennessee, their school year. Like it's going to happen, but did it really happen?
Right.
I mean, they're getting cheated out of their education this year. They just are.
In those memories too. Maddox is in what grade now?
Third.
Third. I mean, really, his second half of second grade and pretty much all of third grade. I mean, what is he really going to remember? Except for, it was different.
I was like, at home a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've thought about that a lot with these kids of not only do they not have their routine, which is not good because they need that, but, you know, there's so many seniors that got robbed of the fun of senior year and prom and, you know, all those things. And even, you know, homecoming and sports, and it was different. So, you know, that is the unfortunate part of it. But back to the expansion thing for a second. You know, the other thing that Vegas didn't have to deal with, yes, they had better rules that led them going to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season. But here, you know, the Oilers actually played in Nashville for the first time in 98. So you also had to compete with that. Whereas the Raiders, it was a few years, you know, this is their first year now in Vegas. So the Golden Knights were the only show in town when it came to a pro sports franchise. So I think that helped it too. You know, that was another thing that the Predators had to not combat, but, you know, had to deal with.
Well, they had to deal with that and the success. It was the double whammy, right? It's
sure. An
NFL franchise and, oh, by the way, success right out of the gates.
Yeah.
Once they moved into the new stadium.
Right, but, I mean, in 1998, they were at Vandy.
And
so they were still here.
It was an 8-8 year. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I saw them play against Minnesota.
Well, there were plenty of seats available, yes.
Yeah, day after Christmas, they played that loaded Vikings team.
In the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they got mopped.
They sure did. I remember it vividly.
But we found out that Vikings team was pretty good.
Yeah, they were.
Minus a missed field goal in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that team was going to be in the Super Bowl, but, you know, that's why they play the games.
Yep, absolutely.
I also thought the Packers and the Bills were going to be in the Super Bowl this year. So,
yeah, so did I. I heck, got that one wrong.
Do,
do you think with expansion that all leagues, except for maybe the NFL, end up doing that in the next couple of years because of what you were saying about the pandemic and revenue? Because I see it.
I don't think the NBA needs to expand, no.
I think they're going to.
They don't need to. They've got a huge problem, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think they're the last.
There are so many markets that are just – they're just there. What's the point? If the superstars are just going to – Wonder Twin Powers activate, form a super team, in the same markets, then what are the other markets doing? If New Orleans is always going to get – is what? Zion Williamson. So what's he going to be there? 3 more years and then he's gone? The minute it's time for the max deal and, you know, he's ready to win. He hasn't done enough – he hasn't done winning in New Orleans and then he leaves.
Yeah, I mean –
So there's certain markets. It's like I don't know what they're – I mean, they're just
there's
there.
There's a team 3 hours away that's going to be faced with that.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And Ja Morant.
They're not going to be able – they're never going to be able to form a super team. Nobody's going to say, hey, let's all get together and go play for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I hate that, but that's – right now, that is the way the NFL – or the NBA is layered and formed. And so, to me, expanding, heck no.
There's and no the way. League – the league could have stopped that, but now I think it's too late. They could have – there are things that they probably could have done to prevent some of that. But in some ways, you know, some of the super teams was good because people were paying attention.
They attempted to do that by vetoing the Chris Paul trade several years ago.
I think they did at first. I think it's people or it's, well, I mean, I know there's several factors on why the NBA ratings are down, but I think people, there are certain people like, you know, okay.
I don't watch it because, you know, I'm tired of seeing the same four teams.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
You know,
I think it's now caught up to the NBA, and it's not a good thing. It's a pretty easy league to predict. You know, we talk about all the unpredictability of other leagues. Certainly, the NHL is very difficult to predict. The NFL is tough at times, right? At times, it's still hard to predict. But the NBA has got to be the most. Major League Baseball is tough at times. Even though some would argue that it's the same usual suspects in baseball too, and I get that, because I do think there are some franchises. That Major League Baseball has got the same problem. There are franchises that are just there, right? I mean,
right.
There are certain franchises we can start naming. Do they really have a chance? Are they ever really going to be, you know, powerhouses in the league? Probably not, because the minute they start getting really really good players, they're going to leave. So I think baseball has kind of got the same type of problem. So for me, it's a turnoff. I don't enjoy that. I mean, we all know that the Lakers are coming out of the West. I mean, what's so hard about that to predict? And I suspect, even though they don't play a lick of defense, I suspect the Brooklyn Nets will come out now that they form their super team.
I don't know what they teach in basketball anymore. I actually last night spent a lot of time watching college basketball, and I don't feel like they teach these guys how to shoot anymore. I'm seeing bricks in front of the rim and just terrible layups. And I mean, do they not run the Kentucky drill anymore? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I remember it vividly when in high school when our team just had a bad game shooting. That was the first thing they did. Coach would say, all right, Kentucky drill, line up and do it until he got done, until he was satisfied.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Brad Johnson to kick off the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.